quickly about me. I'm a technical writer on the Workspace developer team. So I not only do I do Meet platform, I also do Drive APIs and Marketplace. But effectively, everything I'm going to be talking about today, I helped write the documentation for. So we kind of define our lives right now kind of pre-pandemic, post-pandemic. I kind of do this a lot, like in the pre-pandemic days, I used to do this. Post-pandemic days, I used to do this. So pre-pandemic, usually everyone was in the office, right? Like everyone was kind of working together in the office, or you kind of saw all of your colleagues all the time. Now we kind of see colleagues intermittently. Some people work totally remote. Some people come into the office, they're hybrid. Some people come into the office all the time. But you want that interconnectivity. You want that collaborative experience. And how are you going to get that? How are you going to fix that? So we want to replicate that energy within the same room. So why Google Meet? How does Google Meet solve this issue? If you're here, you're a Workspace user, or you know a bit about Workspace, you've probably used Google Meet in the past, you know about its features. But generally, one click and go, right? So Google Meet, it's installed, it's ready, it's a perfect SaaS application. You can just click it and start getting going. Your administrators don't need to do a lot of setup for it. You don't have to do anything for it. It's really secure, and it's part of Workspace. You don't have to go out and buy another license or buy a bunch of licenses to kind of get your people up and running, which is really nice. So with that in mind, how are you going to build your applications, or how do you want to extend Meet? As you know, all of our APIs are extendable. We want to be able to get you out there developing applications for our APIs. So to talk about a little bit more, we're going to look at the platform. Again, three different sections we're going to focus on. We're going to talk about our REST APIs and our Events APIs, what that means, how you can kind of configure your meetings, how you can subscribe to event notifications. And we'll talk about add-ons, how you can actually, as a developer, build something that other people can use. And then we'll talk a little bit more about the Meet Media API, this new thing that's in DPP, Developer Preview Program, and how you can actually leverage that in any of your upcoming information. So quickly, let's look at a use case of how to combine all these. So at Google, we're all encouraged to interview potential candidates. I do a bunch of interviews. My colleagues do a bunch of interviews. But we're blessed with dedicated teams who set up those interviews for us. So we have HR people who will reach out to the candidates and get all that and set all that up for us. But if you're in a company that doesn't have that and you need to kind of help your HR teams find really good people, how are you going to do that? You can actually use Meet APIs and Meet SDKs to kind of help your situation along. So through the API, you can help schedule interviews. You can put those on people's calendars. You can get the post-meeting transcripts. You can analyze those. You can summarize the interview and then ship that over to HR. During the meeting, you can use this new Meet Media API to get the sentiment analysis of what people are talking about. Maybe they've answered your question correctly. Maybe you want to know, hey, they spoke about something. Please generate a follow-up response for me so that I can actually ask it later. And then within the add-ons SDK, when you're meeting with somebody in Meet, you can actually have something on the sidebar that actually is going to post all of those follow-up questions, or you can actually take notes in the sidebar and then get that information so you can actually, again, give that back to HR. So one little use case that kind of works through all the different platforms here. First platform, let's see how you can use Google Meet within your product. So you have your product, you want to reach out to our APIs and pull that information in so that you can actually leverage our information. So when we talk about the Meet REST APIs, we're talking about Meet REST. We're also talking about Meet Events. So the Meet REST APIs allows us to create those meetings, get the information, pre-configure them before we start, get information during, and then get the information afterwards. Ancillary to that, we're also talking about Events API, something that Steve also mentioned. We're launching our Events API. We launched it last year. We're getting lots of Cloud PubSub notifications. This is things that you can do. You can subscribe to information in the meeting space or at the user level, figure out who's actually in the meeting, maybe poke people if they're missing from a meeting. We can get all that kind of information as well. So when we talk about the Meet REST API, we can talk about all of these things. So these are some of the things that you can actually do with the Meet REST API. So you can create those meetings, pre-configure those meetings, make sure that you have a host or a co-host in your meeting so that you actually have that information. You can tailor it before the actual meeting is started. When you create that meeting, you can add it to a calendar so you make sure that it's on everybody's calendar using the calendar API. So again, you can use those cross-functional APIs that we have. During the meeting, you can figure out who's in the meeting. So if there's somebody who should be in the meeting, it's 5 minutes past, they're not in the meeting, you can poke them in a chat space. So you can reach out to the chat API and say, hey, should you be in this meeting? It looks like an important one. Maybe you should join from your desk. So you can also use some of our other APIs. And then, of course, post-meeting, we have all of the artifacts that are created. We have our meeting notes, our transcripts, our recordings. We can actually use the APIs to move those transcripts into certain drive files or drive folders so that they're accessible to everybody. Or we can send notifications through chat or email saying, hey, the recording is ready. Please go check it out if you missed the meeting. As well, the Meet Events API. So again, you can subscribe to events at the meeting space or the participant level. So again, if you want to know when a meeting is started or ended, this is where you can poke people to say, hey, you're missing something. If you want to know who's actually in the meeting, we can talk about that there. And you can also get notifications on when those recordings or transcripts are ready if you want to actually be able to disseminate that information. I will say the top middle box there, the Workspace Events API, that's not exclusive to just Meet. This is what Steve was talking about earlier. This is what this is at the Workspace level. So this is where the chat events are now living, the drive events are now living. So if you want to actually have access to those other events and be able to consume those through Cloud PubSub, you can. And that's that little block right there. So two or three quick use case scenarios. Maybe you're wondering, your brain is now turning. It's like, how can I use this within my organization? A couple of use cases. Maybe you're working with sales and account teams. You want to get that participant and meeting information immediately. You want to get those artifacts. And maybe you want to generate some coaching and sales analysis. So maybe you want to look at your transcripts and go, oh, this could have gone better. How could we have maybe turned that sales call into a sale? Maybe we want to take all of those transcripts or all of that meeting and automatically pump it into our CRM accounts. Make sure those notes are in our CRM so that if I have to go on vacation, the next person who steps up has access to that information. So you can get all of that information too. You can push it all right into your CRM. The learning and development example, maybe you want to create and configure all your meetings and breakout rooms. So imagine you're a school, you're in a classroom, or you're giving trainings within your organization. You want to break people up. Some people are in the class, or are actually on site. Some people are remote. You want to put everyone together. You can do that. You can also assign host and co-host roles. Just because I create the meeting doesn't mean I'm going to be in the meeting. So that's a different scenario. As a meeting organizer, I might create the meeting, but I might create 100 meetings, but I don't need to be there. I can actually assign those roles for people. And then you can actually get those recordings and share those out with students as well at the end of the course so that they make sure that they have that information as well. Again, all of this available through the Meet API. And finally, as a developer, I might want to create instant meetings. So I might want to call that API immediately. Maybe I want to do a sprint retrospective or a daily stand-up with my teams. I want to be able to get that get those meetings set up and going immediately. So you can link to those meetings, and then you can get the transcripts, and you can run all those transcripts and your take notes for me. So you might have your meeting transcript. You might have your take notes for me, two different documents. You can run both of those through an AI model and figure out what your action items are. So that's the Meet API. So that's bringing Meet into your product. Now let's go the other way. What if you want to bring your product into Google Meet? This is where the web add-ons come in. So this is how you can actually build something that's usable within Meet. So this allows you to actually build an add-on that is developed by you and actually brought into Meet, and it could live on the right side in the augment frame, as you're going to see here in this rolling GIF, or it'll live on the main stage, and I'll show you what that means in a second. This example shows Figma being launched on the right side. If you want to go a next step and you want to develop this add-on and sell it or publish it in the marketplace, you can do that. You can publish it internally, so only people in your domain can actually have access, or you can actually publish it for the public or the world to use and actually sell it through the marketplace. So those are different options as well. When I was talking about the different ways you can actually have this, so we talk about two different ways that you can actually show your Meet add-on. So there's something called Focus and Augment. So Focus generally, all the faces, or maybe you're doing some screen sharing, that lives in the big box normally. But this is where you would maybe want to share your application. This is where you want to do some interactive collaboration. You might want to move around some sticky notes or do some kind of information sharing. That would be in the Focus area. The other side, on the side panel, is what we call the Augment. So it's going to augment the meeting. It's going to add benefits to the meeting, but where the meeting still takes focus, you want to then augment it. So maybe you want to add some polls, or you want to add some note-taking ability. You want to put that in that side. Looking a little further, you can see there's a Miro example here. So this is what's known as the main stage or the center stage of this is where we're going to do the focus. And you can see here, everyone's on the right side. We're in an activity. We're able to actually move the information around and everyone can kind of pick a note. We can do our retrospective. We can do that there. So again, this is more for a collaborative setting because everyone needs as big of a screen as possible. We want to be able to have access to the add-on and do that. I will say when you're developing, you might start on the augment side. You might actually start on what's known as the right rail. You might launch your add-on from there into the main stage. We'll talk about that in a second, but that's a common use case for developing with Meet add-ons. On the flip side of that, you might have your augment side panel. This is basically more where you want to have the meeting as the focus. You want to be able to see everyone's faces. You want to be able to, this is the main focus, but you want to be able to augment what's actually happening in the actual meeting. So maybe this is, you're going to have a note-taking app, or you're going to have an icebreaker app, or you're going to maybe run polls. This is just to augment the meeting. Your add-on can live in the right side here. It doesn't have to move over to the main stage. Or you can even have a single, what's known as a single player example. Maybe you just want to create an add-on just for yourself that you just want to take notes in and always have those notes available just to you. You might be asking, okay, great, I built this. How does anybody find it? How is anybody ever going to find this thing and use it? So this is where actually the marketplace is going to come in, but also too, this is where your administrators would come in. So on the right-hand side here, you're going to see the activities panel. If it's pre-installed by your domain, you're actually going to be able to find it right in the activities panel, and you can actually launch your add-ons right through the activities panel. As well, if I'm a first-time user and I want to give access to my add-on, I can actually screen share the add-on for the first time and have everyone join in on the add-on through a screen sharing button at the top here. So that's that butter bar at the top that you can see there that everyone is saying, hey, let's start the activity, let's work on it together. Again, this is more of an interactive session that we want everyone to be in the main stage. We want everyone to be able to move around tiles or whatever it is the add-on is doing. And then finally, we also have this big blue button down at the bottom. You can actually reach out into the marketplace. You can go and pull down a publicly available add-on if you wish, or you can actually, if it's been only installed privately to your domain, you can go into your internal apps and pull that add-on down as well through the marketplace button, because maybe it's only yourself who wants to use that add-on at the moment. So, all right, we kind of talked about what an add-on is. Let's kind of look at how to build one quickly. We have, I'm kind of biased, but we have excellent documentation about building add-ons. So three steps to building an add-on. Sounds simple. It's pretty simple, especially if you're building a smallish add-on. We have lots of great code. So you want to create the workspace add-on. So you either want to create that in the cloud console or something that's known as AppScript. AppScript is, as Steve had shown in the intro comments, it's more of the mid-code level. And then if you want to go actually full guns and use Node or Python, you can actually build stuff in the cloud console and use something called HTTP deployments, which I'll talk about in a second. You want to also write the code. So you're creating the add-on, but you also want to tell the add-on what it's going to do. Like what is this thing that you're building that you want to deploy to Meet? That's where you're going to actually write the code. And then you're going to install it. You're going to install it. You're going to dev test it. You're going to try it out. And you're going to do it that way. So before you get started doing any of this, and because we're building add-ons, you'll need to enable both the Marketplace SDK and the add-ons API. This is a little bit of a black box. I'm trying to just give you the basics here, but within Cloud Console, you generally have to enable a bunch of APIs before you can use them, especially when you're building add-ons. This is something that you will need to enable, especially because if you're distributing your add-on through the marketplace, you need to be able to go through that those scenarios and enable the Marketplace SDK. So when we talk about creating an add-on and making it live, all of our add-ons need a GCP project. And you can create a deployment through HTTP deployments. You can also use AppScript if you want. If you prefer to use AppScript and deploy everything through AppScript, that's great. You can also do everything through the HTTP deployments window within the Workspace SDK. Again, hence the reason why we need to actually enable the SDK. And all of our deployments need a manifest file. So this is the deployment.json. This is telling it what it actually is going to do, how it's going to appear in the marketplace, how it's going to appear in the actual app, whether it's chat or Meet or any of our other products where you build an add-on for. This is the defining file that's going to tell it how it's actually going to appear. And this is a quick demo or a quick image of what a deployment.json looks like. Very scoped down. If you have multiple add-ons, this thing could be 100 lines or more. But deployment.json, common is common to all workspace add-ons. This is something that everyone would use. This is where you're going to find the name and the logo. What we're going to talk about quickly here is the meat section. So side panel URL. Again, most of your add-ons are going to launch from the side panel. They might live in the side panel still, or they might launch from the side panel into the main stage. That's generally the way we want developers to kind of interact. So you might want to push a button in the side panel and then go over. Support screen sharing. So again, this is that butter bar at the top, true, false. If you want to be able to actually say, yes, I want to screen share my application so that others can find it quickly. Add-on origins. This is where you can actually use your domains. This is how you're going to actually share whether or not people can find this, how your add-on is actually hosted, if it's through Firebase or through something else, how they can actually find it and are people allowed to use it. And then obviously your logo URLs. So we talked a bit about how to deploy it and how to create the add-on. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the code. So this is kind of like how to get started. And again, there's lots of great documentation about how to build these things. We have lots of good quick starts about how to actually build a meat add-on. So to build the meat add-on, you're going to use the SDK. So you're going to actually add the SDK, your package, to your actual product, whether that's JavaScript or TypeScript. You're going to be able to do that. We're working in 1.1.0 right now. That's our GA launch. So that's the package that you're going to actually work on. And then you're going to initialize the session. As I mentioned before, all of the add-ons require a GCP project. So you need to add your GCP project. You need to associate your add-on with your project. And then you're going to create your add-on session here. So you're going to be able to pass in your project, and you're going to either launch from the side panel or launch right into the main stage. Generally, as I say, we want you to launch from the side panel and then push over to the main stage. So that's generally the path that we recommend. And then once it's actually up and running, we're looking for that button click. We have that listener. We're actually looking to see if you're actually going to click the button on the side panel so that you can actually get that. And then, as you can see here in the main stage, we're unloading the side panel, and then we're loading onto the main page, and we're waiting for that interaction of how do you get the meeting info, and then we're going to go from there. So it's very simplified here. Please check out the various quick starts and the tutorials that we have. We have lots of information. And then finally, you want to do a developer install. You always want to test stuff, right? You want to be able to do that developer install, especially if you're going to publish. So you can publish to the marketplace, as I mentioned before. You can publish internally, so that's only within your domain. But if you're going to publish externally, you have to go through all the marketplace machinations to be able to get your approvals, get verified, get all of that information. So you can publish externally with more vetting, and the marketplace SDK information is out there on how to do that. Meet Media API. So we talked about Meet API. We talked about add-ons. This is kind of like the third leg now in the Meet platform. Meet Media API is currently in developer preview. What that means is that you need to sign up to be a part of it. But generally, you do have to fill out a form to get access to the Meet Media API. But what it is real-time streaming, real-time access to media streams. So if you want to actually have information, you want to get the information as the meeting is going on, and you want to be able to action on the streams as they're happening, this is what that means. So you can actually build apps that maybe document items, action items, as it's going through, or offers real-time insights. So you can actually say, pull up that information, or pull up that, reach out to Gemini and say, pull up that document and bring it up to the screen. Or at the end of let's make a reservation for lunch. Please, pull up something, or pull up the maps and let's find out where that restaurant is. So all of that, so you can stream all of that information immediately right from within the Meet call. A few use cases, so you can get those analytics right from within the conversation. You can track action items, as I said. You can figure out who's saying what and where it is. You can actually update your CRMs right with with the call summary. So you can actually reach out to maybe call it to Salesforce or any of the other CRMs and actually do that right within there. You can also feed those video streams or those audio streams into your AI models. Perhaps maybe you want to get some information as you're actually talking. Maybe you want to get some analytics immediately. Another great use case is generating captions. Maybe whatever language you're speaking isn't covered by the Meet captioning. So you want to push your Meet streams into some other captioning agent so you can get those audio streams back. And then detect people who are actually in the conference. I will say that if you don't need the real-time information, as I mentioned before, through the Meet Media API, You can actually get all the captions and the recordings and all of that kind of post-meeting information through there. So don't feel like this is your only angle. You can actually get all that information through there. But if you need the real-time information, this is how it's used. Real-time WebRTC access, everything's built on WebRTC, the open model, audio, video, participant information. I will say that the Meet Media apps are only permitted in a meeting if there's someone in the call that's allowed to provide consent on behalf of the meeting. So generally, that person must be in the organization that owns the meeting. And I'll talk a little bit about user controls in a second, but that's a very clear demarcation, because if I'm creating the meeting and I work for Google, I want to make sure that I'm mentioning to everyone that I'm giving that these media APIs, Meet Media APIs, are actually going to be monitoring the meeting. So we have very good user-facing and admin controls. So there will be notices. You will have to agree to it as you go into the meeting. So it's not like you're not going to be notified. Very flexible integration integration options. And I did not write this last bullet, but the Meet Media team did. But apparently, there's very clear documentation. So I will take it. So awesome. And a little bit more about security within Meet Media API, what that means. So we do have our calendar invites. So when you do set up the calendar invites, again, we're being totally transparent. The host must give permission that the Meet Media app is going to be in the calendar setting. It's going to be part of the meeting. You want to make sure that everyone's aware of this. Just like within the meeting itself, anybody within the meeting can actually turn it off at any point. So it doesn't have to be the host. It can be anybody, any user within the meeting as well. So we take that very seriously. It's peer-to-peer right now, so it's people with actually within the meeting. So any kind of in-room conference device, like a Cisco device, isn't supported at the moment. I hear it might be in the future, but right now it cannot join a call if it's actually using the Meet Media API. And because Google operates in multiple jurisdictions around the world, we're very cognizant about minors and people of different age groups actually accessing the meetings. So if any minor is in the group, they will not be allowed to use the Meet Media API. So that pretty much wraps it up for me. Please take a screenshot of this or check out the QR code. So QR code leads to the first bullet, which is an overview of all of our different Meet platforms. If you are interested in building an add-on, this second bullet is a really great, second and third bullets are really great introductions into how to actually do that, how to build something with Node using our quick starts, and then how to get ready and deploy it.